Good morning. I'm pleased to have all of you here this morning. I know it's an early morning, and I'm first of all very happy to be reporting from San Antonio. We're down here in Texas, and Texas has been number one. It's been blessed with some rain here this whole week, and it's been had some rain the last couple of weeks. So it's as green as I've seen it in Texas probably in 5 or 6 years, and maybe longer than that. So I think that's welcome relief for everybody. Not only in Texas, but all over the United States. When we take a look at the cow herd and we take a look about expansion in the beef industry, I think that's very, very important. I think the word expansion is probably one of the key words that we have to talk about. That's what the meat export is all about. We want to expand our exports internationally. I would say this year we've been probably challenged more than most as a result of the port dispute. I think that crescendoed into one of the major stories of last year, and of course I think for the beginning of this year, and we're still feeling the effects of this. But I would say if we take a look at our beef exports, we're starting to regain a little bit of momentum. We're basically, if you take a look at January through March, we're up about 4% higher than last year as far as value, and as far as tonnage, we're about 10% lower. So we still have some challenges, but we know the prices of beef, and we know we've been challenged as far as that pork dispute. As far as pork, we're about 14% lower in value, and we're about 10% lower in volume. And of course, a lot of our, almost 50% of all of our product that goes out in containers goes out from the West Coast. So this is that has been very significant. I would say also on lamb, we're 18% lower in value, and we're about 14% lower in volume. But it's not just the West Coast dispute. I think that what we've seen, you know, over the last year and a half or 2 years, as a result primarily of the closure of the Russian market, which was well over a $500 million market for us for both beef and pork, we've seen the Europeans direct product, primarily pork, to other destinations, primarily in North Asia. And our directors, especially Joel, will talk about this development. But it's a real development now. But then you had the PEDV situation on the pork side. And of course, that caused a lot of havoc because a lot of the buyers in North Asia, especially, were looking for suppliers. And of course, the first place they looked after dealing with the United States would have been Canada and, of course, the EU. So you have, I don't know if it's the perfect storm, but you definitely have a typhoon when you consider what's occurred here as far as some of these developments that have been adverse for the U.S. industry. When you look at the beef industry, the paucity of product, the prices, beef demand is very high, especially driven by China. And then we still are dealing with market access issues that as a result of the BSE issue. That's still a lingering canker as far as our exports in these countries. I think the other point in our opening comments yesterday was that you have a competition that to me has become more intense and more visible than any time in my career. For example, there are 71 countries that are supplying beef to China today. That means they have some semblance of traceability. They've taken care of some of the other production methodologies that we've been challenged on. And this has become a reality for us, is that the world is waking up to the growth in exports. As you know, only 4% of our population, of the population, resides in the United States. That other 96% is outside the United States. So it's everybody's looking at the world and that growth, because there's about a 4% growth in protein consumption around the world going on as we go forward. So that's pretty exciting for a lot of people. But there's 25 competitors in Korea, about 25 or 26 pork competitors in Japan. So it's become, I think, very, 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 very challenging. I think the other area that we've seen that's been challenging for us is this, the proliferation of the free trade agreements, or EPAs. I know we often celebrate, we've just initialed an agreement, and we hear about the agreements that we sign, but little do we hear about the agreements that our competitors are signing with our markets. And so, you know, Japan, as we talk about, for example, the TPP and then all the excitement surrounding TPP, we better pass TPP because Japan has held 10 different sessions with the Europeans. They're very aggressive, and they're going to continue to work at this. Korea has EPAs with, for example, Australia, Canada, the European Union. China is going to conclude an EPA this year with Australia, which will lower their beef duty probably by about 50%. So these developments are exciting for us from the standpoint of being an exporter, but from the competitive standpoint, if they initial these agreements before we do, we're at a disadvantage. And if you take a look, for example, probably the most celebrated disadvantage would be the agreement with Australia, where today Japan and Australia signed an EPA. They initialed it last January. They've had two duty reductions, where our duty with Japan is 38.5%. The chill duty from Australian product going to Japan is 31.5%, and on frozen is 28.5%. So they have already a 10% advantage. And so these FTAs, it's as important to look at the ones that we're dealing with from the United States, but it's also extremely important for us to take a look at the ones that our competitors and these other countries are signing with some of our markets. I think in total there's roughly about 156 EPAs or free trade agreements that are going on in the world. And so this is really a situation, as we've seen the WTO process drag, if you will. We've seen a tremendous renewal of enthusiasm for these FTAs and what they can do. So MEF's role basically is not only in pure market development, we're also looking at market displacement as being a very key and vital approach to what we do from the marketing standpoint, because we have competition as a result of BSE and as a result of some of the other challenges that we talked about that have really stepped up their game. And so that's something that we're really having to deal with as we go forward. So displacement is on a par with development at the U.S. Meat Export Federation. But with that, those are my opening comments. I'll adjourn here for a moment.